Father God, we trust you. We trust your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For where else can we go? Who else can we turn to? Your name is faithful. You are dependable. You are a present help in all of our trouble. You have promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. You've placed us in your hand, and you said that no one can snatch us up. We trust you. We trust you, and we choose not to lean on our own understanding, because you will not always make sense to us for why you do what you do. But we trust you. As the man said, whose son was struggling with demonic activity, and he came to Jesus and he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Thank you, Lord, that your work in our lives is not always contingent upon our faith. You do miracles when we haven't even asked. So not only do we trust you, we want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Lord, when your word goes forth, might it heal your people, starting with this preacher. We thank you, God. We expect great things because you're a great God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you're turning in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. One of our own is in the Tennessean paper right now. He is one of the best soccer players in the state. His name is Elijah Vanderheiden, and he's up for player of the year. And the Tennessean is letting folks vote on it. And so with all the people I know, he ought to have all the votes he needs. So if you have not voted, you can go to my page or to his mama's page and find out where to click and all that kind of stuff. And you can vote as many times as you want. And it ends today. And as of today, he was ahead of everybody because his pastor must have voted about 50 times. So hook him up. Amen. I think that family could use a boost of encouragement. Amen. And speaking of that family, they were out yesterday with others serving in our Helping Hands ministry, where we help people in our body who need some help around their home, who just can't get to certain things because maybe they're older or they just don't have the resources. And so Yuri and his sons and Elder Clifton and his sons and others of you, Deacon DeRegis, were out there, Brother Cleon, doing the work. And so we've got more work, isn't that right, Lasagna? Where folks just need a helping hand. So, this is where the kingdom really shows up. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And so I thank God for all of you who put feet to your faith. And speaking of feet today, let me preach a message entitled, Put Your Peace Shoes On. Put your peace shoes on. And as your pastor, I know some of the things some of you are going through. And so this message is dedicated to people who find themselves in a storm. You're going through a storm. You're in a storm. And I pray that today the words of scripture will encourage your heart. But if you're not in a storm, that don't mean you can go to sleep today. You still need to take some notes Because if you're not in a storm right now, guess what? One's coming. And so I want us to be equipped on how God has equipped us, that we might not only endure the storm, but even dance in the storm, because we know who's ultimately in control of the situation. So put your peace shoes on. I'm going to share something with you that I just learned. And that's how the Word of God is. It's always speaking, always teaching. My learning did not end when I graduated from seminary. My learning continues to unfold every day if you have a teachable spirit. So I want to share something with you that I'm learning. And speaking of learning, when I was in school, you would have teachers who would encourage students to ask questions. Those were the good teachers. Those were the good professors, not just trying to teach for a paycheck or just to, you know, check the boxes and get the quota handed in to the people to say, pass these kids, whether they're learning or not. No, there were teachers and professors who really cared. And they would say, no question is a dumb question. So they try to encourage us, man, raise your hand, ask a question, because there's no dumb question. You can ask anything. And today, what I want to do is I want to frame this sermon with questions, because the best way to learn the Bible is by asking questions of the Bible. So rather than just reading to say, oh, I read Ephesians chapter 6. Well, what did you learn? Again, are you trying to fulfill a religious quota to say I read chapter 6, but what did you learn? And the best way to learn is to ask questions of the text, ask questions of God, because we have an anointing from him who teaches us what no professor can teach us. We go to commentaries and people who are older in the faith, who've been through some things, to learn from them. But God wants to teach us some things, and it begins with asking questions. So I'm going to frame this message with questions from Ephesians 6, namely about the armor of God. And the first question today is, since I'm talking about peace shoes, what is peace? What is peace? Peace is the feeling. Let the church say feeling.
Feeling.
Feeling of tranquility in the midst of difficulty. That's what peace is, where you have this tranquility in the midst of painful situations, circumstances, and difficulty. Peace is something, as Elder Sherman has said, you cannot fake. You either have it or you don't, which is why Jesus said there's a kind of peace that the world goes after to find tranquility. He says worldly peace, which is really something that comes from the outside in, where you're trying to sedate yourself to find tranquility. But his peace is not as the world gives peace. It comes from the inside out. It is authentic. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, meaning that it is supernatural tranquility, that God gives you peace when you should have lost your mind. You can't explain it. And when you feel the saints praying for you and you're going through a storm and you let them know and they're praying and you could feel like, man, I'm mounting up with wings like an eagle and I'm flying through this hard scenario that I'm going through. It's a feeling of tranquility. It's a feeling of calmness during the storm or after a storm. The psalm or the hymn goes, when peace like a river. A song that's sang in many funerals, when peace like a river. The man who wrote this psalm had lost his family in a storm, literally at sea. But he came back later and he wrote, when peace like a river. attendeth my way. When sorrows as sea billows roll, whatever my lot you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Outsiders look at you and say, you must be crazy. But no, those of us who know the Lord know, oh my, it's only his grace that's allowed me to bless the Lord at all times. It's his grace to say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's peace. You can't fake it. The Holy Spirit, if he did get paid, he earns his money when you're going through a trial. I mean, he earns. I mean, he shows up and gives you what you cannot give yourself. But some will turn to the bottle. Some will turn to the weed. Some will turn to pills. And some will turn to, let me just buy something to make me feel. Some will turn to relationships. Let me feel good. But no, 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 no. Jesus says, peace I give you, but not as the world gives peace. But brothers and sisters, I just want to let you know, peace is much more than a feeling. It's so much more than a feeling. And if your understanding of peace is rooted in a feeling, you can find yourself getting disappointed because the feeling didn't come when you thought it would come or how it would come. So I want to expand your understanding of peace today from the text to say that peace is not just a feeling. In fact, peace is our foundation. Peace is our foundation. For a believer, peace is more than a feeling. Yeah, it's a feeling, but it's also our foundation. You see, peace is inner stability during times of instability. Peace allows us to stand when life and spiritual warfare seek to knock us down and even run us over. And so there's a place for feelings, but thank God for foundation. Matter of fact, I got to ask this question now. Why did Paul connect peace, this thing that's a feeling and a foundation, with soldier shoes? Pastor, what you talking about? Well, let me read from the text. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, he's wrapping up this wonderful letter to the church at Ephesus. It's a prison epistle. More on that in a moment. He says, finally, my brethren and sisterin, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and here it is, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, if you were to read on, there are other aspects of the armor that he mentions, but for our focus today, I'm going to focus on these shoes, these peace shoes, these soldier shoes. As I mentioned, Ephesians is a prison epistle. Paul has been arrested. He's under Roman authority, and he's writing to believers in Ephesus, one of the places he stayed the longest in his missionary journeys. And he closes their letter with the goal of encouraging them to be strong in the Lord. We all need to be reminded to be strong in the Lord. When Joshua took the mantle over from Moses to take the people into the promised land, Moses told him, the people told him, and God told him, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And we all need to be reminded of that, because sometimes we get weak and we become fearful and frightened, and we're busy looking around at everything that's going on, and we begin to lose our strength and cower. But we're reminded, be strong in the Lord. And he had a metaphor when he looked at the people that were imprisoning him, Roman soldiers in this Roman jail. And he's looking at the outfit of the soldier. And like most preachers, we're always looking for illustrations. We're looking for illustrations anywhere we can find them. And he's trying to close this letter to encourage them. Y'all got to be strong, man. There's spiritual warfare going on. Oh, wait a minute. I think I got it. Look at that soldier who's watching me as I'm in my cell. He's dressed from head to toe. I'm going to use him as an illustration to teach the people of God about the armor of God. But watch this, though. Paul was a good Bible reader. And he also knew that in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 59, that one of the ways that God presents himself to Israel as he redeems them is as the mighty, majestic one who is robed in an armor. And so God is going to use this kind of imagery, this kind of language, which is called anthropomorphism, to try to explain the awesomeness of an almighty God to mere humans. So he's going to use human illustrations to try to communicate spiritual truth to fallen people. Anthropomorphism. So God, who is spirit, says, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to show myself in an armor, a breastplate of righteousness, this helmet of salvation. In the book of Isaiah chapter 59. So Paul is saying, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. I got my Old Testament reference and I got a reference right in front of me. I'm going to make a metaphor out of what this soldier is dressed in, but above all, what you're dressed in. Because watch this, strong tie. I'm going to give you this for free. Every piece of the armor is a picture of Jesus Christ. So it's not just you're trying to put on righteousness. Christ is your righteousness. It's not that you're trying to put on salvation. Christ is your salvation. Christ is your truth. Christ is your peace. Christ is the word of God. Christ is your faith, your covering. And so when you put on the armor, you are putting on Christ or acknowledging that you already have Christ on you. I'm going too fast, so I'm going to try to slow it down, put it in reverse. He's closing this letter with a metaphor. And he wants them to see that God has you covered. My goodness. Roman soldiers in that day, Strong Tower, they wore a special kind of shoe called Caligae. I don't know if that's a designer, brand, or what, but they wore these special shoes. Now, what I just read from you in Ephesians 6, you'll notice that there's emphasis placed on the feet of the soldier. Because four times in the verses I just read, you see the word stand or withstand. So what good is having all your armor on, but you can't stand up or you don't stand up? You've fallen down. So there's an emphasis on your feet, your posture, standing erect as a soldier of God. And so for Roman soldiers in the natural realm, they had to have shoes that will keep them upright. You ever try to fight somebody back in the day with street shoes on, church shoes on? They'd be like, nah, you can't fight with church shoes on. Be slipping and sliding and all that stuff. Because once you hit the ground, it's over. So you got to be able to stand your ground, and having done everything to stand. And Roman soldiers wore these caligae, these boots, these sandals. They featured a thick, riveted leather sole that had hobnails protruding out from them. And the hobnails acted like spikes. And they served to give the soldiers better footing during times of battle because they dug into the ground, giving the soldier stability and the ability to stand strong. So they just weren't regular sandals. No, they had these hobnails under them that help ensure that they would be stable in the midst of a fight. So I got to tell you now, when he's talking to us about these peace shoes, it's in the context of spiritual warfare. That's why it's more than a feeling. We're talking about a foundation, because we're all in the midst of spiritual warfare. We thank God when His Spirit moves on us and gives us this surreal feeling of peace and calmness and tranquility. But until that comes, we also thank God for the fact that we have a foundation in Christ, that we can stand, and having done everything to stand, because He's standing in me, He's standing for me, He's standing through me, He's standing with me. So I got to remember what I got from God, because we're all going through some stuff. You got to have the right shoes on to do the right job. Don't forget what kind of shoes that God has given you. I don't know what your shoe size is. Mine is 14. My birthday's coming up later. But anyway, my shoe size. We all have different shoe sizes. But these pea shoes are for God's people. One style fits all. Even though we have different sizes and circumstances and situations, we got a style of shoe called the peace shoe. Because you got to have the right shoe to do the right job. You can't play basketball in dress shoes. You can't play football in basketball shoes. You can't play soccer in golf shoes. You can't run a marathon in football shoes. You can't run track in tap shoes. You can't bowl in ballet shoes. You can't fight a war in flip-flops. Your peace shoes are war shoes, and they're the right shoes for the battle. Now, my spiritual son Cleon blessed me last week in front of everybody, said that I was the first man to tell him that I loved him at the age of 17, and man, just blessed my heart. So I'm going to talk about him this morning. He's not here. He's preaching at First Missionary Baptist Church in Franklin. I'm going to talk about him. But it ain't nice, what I'm about to say. It's nothing romantic or like, oh, man, that's so endearing. No. Because when he was 17, he was going out for the football team at Franklin High School. And because I would go up and visit the students like Dion and Tabitha and Jay Meese, I would go up to the schools and visit them and have lunch with them. I really didn't eat their cafeteria food. But anyway, I would come up with them. And if they had sports, I would go to their sporting events to show love and support. And congratulations to Deion Sanders Jr. for becoming the baseball coach at Centennial High School. Amen. Because his daddy was a really good baseball player himself. And so I would go watch, and Cleon was trying out for the football team. And, you know, again, he was a big brother. It was like, man, he gonna do good on that defensive line. But homeboy didn't have any football shoes on the day he went out. He had basketball shoes on, trying to hit the sled. The sled is that thing the players got to hit, boom, boom. And because he didn't have any footing, he kept slipping because he had on basketball shoes. He had basketball shoes in the grass when he should have had football shoes in the grass. And because he didn't have the right shoes on, my son did not make the football team. I'm just trying to tell you, you got to have the right shoes on to do the right job. Don't you try to fight this spiritual battle in your own shoes. I don't care if they're Gucci, red bottoms, whatever you got, it ain't gonna hold up against spiritual weapons coming against us. But yeah, man, you gotta have the right shoes on. But here's my third question. Why did Paul connect these peace shoes with the gospel? Well, for me, I gotta ask a question. What is the gospel? Because he says in chapter 6, verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation or the readiness of the gospel of peace, the gospel of peace. Well, the word gospel literally means good news, good news. So let that just sit in your soul. Gospel literally means good news. And once again, Paul gets this insight from Isaiah chapter 52, because in those days they didn't have social media. They didn't have cable news or even newspapers. So couriers or messengers had to run from place to place with the news of what happened when that particular community went into battle against another community or the state of Israel was fighting against another country. And so in order to find out what happened in the battle, there would be messengers on the battlefield. And when they saw that the battle was won, victory was won, they would run from village to village, hamlet to hamlet, proclaiming the good news that victory had been won. Which is why it says in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, that the war has been won. The battle has been won. And watch this, who proclaims peace? Because one aspect of peace is the absence of war. That there's no more war. So he's proclaiming good news and peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. I know David and them were out in the fields fighting, but who gave the victory? God gave the victory. Your God reigns. So people would sit and wait for the messenger to come, just like you sit and wait for the Amazon man. You know how it is when you order something from Amazon. And now they fool you, because sometimes they don't even send the big truck with the smiley face on it. They'll roll up in regular cars on you. Matter of fact, I ordered something that came this morning. It came this morning before church, and I was waiting. I was looking for my package, and a car rolled up. And I was like, is this a drive-by, Lord? Is this a drive-by? No. They came to bring me something good that I had ordered. My grandson's birthday was yesterday. And so, yeah. I ordered a little late for his stuff to come, but I'm waiting for the Amazon people to come. But anyway, good news when they got something good for me. Ain't nothing like waiting on the mailman when you know the mailman got a check for you. Yeah. Especially before direct deposit. Is anybody hearing a brother? Oh, Lord. But when the mailman come and them bills, that's all they got is bills. That ain't good news. That's bad news. But anyway, Paul is saying, man, let me connect the peace shoes with the gospel, because the gospel of Jesus is good news that God loves, as Ebony said today, the poor, the lost, the last, the least, the captive, the sick, the sinner, the imprisoned, the brokenhearted, the lame, the maimed, the blind, the outcast, and the oppressed. But when I was coming up in conservative circles, all I heard was that the gospel was good news for sinners. That's true, but that's not all of the gospel. And so there are people who want to preach a gospel that focus on getting someone's soul saved and caring nothing about the conditions in which they live in. That's not the holistic aspect of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm here to let you know the gospel of Jesus brings peace with God and the peace of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation and unto liberation. The gospel says there's no condemnation and no discrimination in the kingdom of God. The gospel is not just spiritual, it is also social. It's not just personal, it is communal. That's the gospel. So when we preach the gospel, it is not just about someone saying, yes, I received Jesus as my Savior. Yes, that's important. But Jesus also came preaching to help the captive, preaching to come and help those who were sick, preaching to help those who were outcast and pushed away from society. That's why it's good news, because God says, I got something for everybody. Not just if you say I'm a sinner. Yeah. All of us have sinned. We know this. But God also cares about your social and physical state as well. So here's how we connect the gospel of peace. Because when I'm going through, I got to remember the gospel. Because the gospel, once again, it's not just for sinners. The gospel is for saved sinners as well. The gospel is not just something I preach to you. The gospel is something I have to preach to myself. Why? Because when I think about how much he loves me, I preach the gospel to myself and I believe it. I say, Lord God, you did not spare your only son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall you not with him freely give us everything that we need? I preach Jesus to myself. I remind myself of who I am and whose I am. I preach good news to myself that God loves me and nothing I can do today will cause him to stop loving me, because nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. When I start thinking about the fact that he won't love me any more or any less, my God, I start feeling stabilized. My foundation starts getting strong because I preach the gospel to myself, saying that Jesus has all authority. Jesus has won. Death has lost its sting. The grave has no victory. Jesus got up from the grave. He's victorious. And because I'm in him, I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. And the more I preach the gospel to myself and stop uplifting all my problems and circumstances and issues, the more I preach the good news of Jesus Christ, the more stable I become in my foundation. So when you put on the gospel shoes, you're preaching the gospel to yourself and believing it. Somebody messing with you, disturbing your peace. The Bible says that Satan, one of his names is the Lord of Flies. You see, Satan is a peace disturber. You ever have a fly in your car? You almost wrecked trying to kill that fly because it's trying to disturb you. Man, I'm going to get that thing. And we have people who want to disturb us. Get on our last nerve. Someone will even try to threaten us. They'll fire us. They'll do this to us. But you got to think again. Let me preach the gospel. The Lord is my helper, Hebrews 13 says. What can man do to me? Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? Stop uplifting these folks and start uplifting God. Man, I'm not going to fear any man. I fear God. So I start reminding myself of the truths of Scripture, and it allows me to stand flat-footed in the gospel of peace. I'm at peace no matter what you do or what you say to me or about me. Because when I got my peace shoes on, that means I got to pick which wars I get into. And he already said, I'm not fighting flesh and blood. I'm fighting spiritual wickedness. Therefore, when you're buzzing and trying to disrupt my peace, I don't have to cuss you out. I don't have to fuss, cuss, and fight. No, Lord. Peace, man, I have peace. I don't have to deal with you. I trust God to deal with you. Now, that's a different kind of peace right there, and that's why we're in process. Because some of us, hey, I fuss and cuss and fight, hey, we still in process. But when you're under the peace of God and the fruit of the Spirit, man, I don't have to answer every fool. That's what the Bible says. You don't have to answer every fool. Ah, man, that's too personal. Let me keep on moving, y'all. Oh, my God. So how do you put these peace shoes on? Pastor, I need to have the shoes on. He got one for me, even in my size and situation. How do I put the peace shoes on? You put them on by faith. That's how you put them on, by faith. Wait a minute now. That's it? Mm-hmm. You got to believe. Let me ask it this way. How did you get saved? By what? Faith. For we have been saved by grace through faith. We've never seen Jesus with our physical eye, yet by faith we have trusted him to be our Lord and our Savior. We're saved by grace through faith. Well, how are we supposed to walk as believers? Not by sight, but by faith. So how do I put these shoes on? It's not like I get on the side of the bed every morning and say, well, let me put on my spiritual peace shoes and phew. I tried doing that. It didn't work. Don't do that. Back when I was a younger Christian, let me put on my helmet of salvation. Don't do that. Again, it is acknowledging what each piece of the armor represents. It represents Jesus. So I'm putting on the one that I'm already clothed with. Let me say it another way. I'm acknowledging the fact that I'm dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that I'm covered by his love and his blood. So I'm just appropriating what is true when I put on the peace shoes and every other piece of the armor. I'm just sitting there saying, Lord, thank you for clothing me today. Thank you for giving me everything I need today. Putting on the whole armor of God, meaning that it's a mindset that when I'm going through something, I know that I'm covered in that particular area. So I thank you by faith that I already have the shoes on. Well, what's the proof that you put your peace shoes on? What's proof? I said it a little bit earlier, is that we don't fight every battle. We chill with it. But 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 say this. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, your next door neighbor, no, that's not your enemy. Your enemy, the Haitian community, no, that's not your enemy. Your enemy, the devil. Prowls over, because I'm supposed to love my neighbor, and I vote to send my neighbor out of here. Look, anyway, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And he devours restless Christians, anxious Christians, worldly or carnal Christians. Oh, yeah. But resist him, standing firm in the faith. There it is right there. Standing firm. What Paul emphasized in Ephesians 6, standing in your peace shoes, which are war shoes, resist him, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You're not by yourself. You're not the only one. There are other people going through similar trials and tests. And there's no secret sauce to this. There's no 1, 2, 3 sermonic points that Paul and Peter are giving us. They're just saying, man, stand firm on the promises of God, on the person of God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Use your spiritual authority. Recognize who you are. You can stand firm. Okay, let me try another illustration. The peace shoes are my foundation. They keep me together when I'm prone to fall apart. Not just the feeling, but my foundation is strong. You ever go to an amusement park and ride a roller coaster? I don't ride them no more. We went to Universal a couple years back. I got on one of them roller coasters. I was done the whole day. No, it was Disney World. I was done the whole day. I'm sitting off on the side with the elderly community who holds all your bags when you go on a ride, and with the grandkids and the stroller. I'm sitting with them because that roller coaster tore me up. I'm dizzy. I'm done. So I don't ride them no more. But when you do ride them, you sit down in the seat and they put that bar on your lap. And you better wait for it to click, because if it don't click, it ain't secure. But when the bar comes down and it clicks and you are secure, it will keep you grounded, stabilized, seated in that position, because it's holding you down through all the twists and the turns and going around in circles. That bar, like peace, stabilizes you when life puts you on a roller coaster. You're going all over the place, but you're able to stand firm because peace is holding you down. You get on an airplane and they say in case of turbulence, man, stuff is going to drop from the ceiling, and make sure you have your seat belt on and you're seated. Why? Because it's going to start shaking real bad. And the thing that stabilizes you is what's around your waist. And for Paul, he's saying when life gets bad and turbulent, what's going to stabilize you is where you're standing and who you're standing in, your foundation in Christ. So you can fight the way he's called you to fight. Well, finally, what does your peace shoes give you when you put them on? In addition to stability, what do they give you when you by faith, believe you have them on because you already have Christ covering you. What? These peace shoes, which are war shoes. What does Paul say in Romans 16, verse 20? The God of what? Peace will soon crush Satan under your what? Lord, help us put it together here. You're talking about our position in Christ, the God of peace. And we know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace who won the war for us by shedding his blood on the cross, giving us victory. And he says here, you've got the victory spiritually. You've got the victory eternally. But when what you're going through daily and situationally, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. So if you're going through something that you believe is satanically inspired, if you're going through something and it just seems evil and wicked and unclean and unnatural, oh, Lord, 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 the God of peace will soon. My problem is God soon and my soon don't always match up. But I got to trust him that he's either going to crush the enemy under my feet now or later, which goes back to Genesis chapter 3, where God promised a deliverer who would come and crush the head of the serpent. Warfare. I'm going through something. God says, I'm going to crush him through your feet soon. Trust me. Wait on me. Pastor, how does this play out? Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. God told Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Where you're about to go into the promised land, every place your foot trods, I have given it to you. Not I'm going to give it to you. See, God speaks in the past tense when we're going through some present tension. Because in God's mind, stuff is already done. But in our experience, we're limited by time and space. But we trust the one who is not limited by anything. So he speaks of the present as if it's the past, because in his mind, it's already done. Every place your footsteps I have given to you. This is why every battle that you're facing, you've already won because he won. I'm not fighting to get the victory. I'm fighting as one who's already victorious. So Lord, help me recognize and understand who I am in you. That's why it's by faith. And we're growing in our faith. But everywhere your footstep, man, I've given to you. And those peace shoes are going to crush the head of the serpent the way Jesus did in Genesis chapter 3. And so therefore, he does not always have his way. Don't let him have his way. Recognize who you are and having done everything to stand because you have the victory. So when you step into the doctor's office and you're concerned about the report that they might give you, that they might give me, and I don't have peace, my peace has been disturbed, I'm full of anxiety and stress and concern, and God is saying, while you're waiting on the feeling to come, trust me that I am your foundation and I got you. I got this. So no matter what they say, if it's bad news, it doesn't override the good news of the gospel. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. I wish I had a witness in here. Even if it's bad news, it doesn't cancel out the victory that I've already secured for you. Because I've justified you, I am sanctifying you, and I've already glorified you in my mind. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. So when you go in earthly spaces and you're waiting for the report, you then have to say, whose report will I believe right now? because whatever happens to my body, man, it's going to happen to my body, but it's not going to take away what you've done in my soul. But I also know you can heal and do a work in my body too, and you can do it with or without medicine. So when I walk into the valley of the doctor's office, peace will be my foundation, because my times are in God's hands and not in the hands of a doctor. Peace, victory. When you walk into the courtroom, victory. When you walk into the hospital to see your relatives, victory. When I walk into the lawyer's office, victory. When I walk onto the mission field and some places where they kill Christians, victory. When I walk on my job, peace shoes on, victory. When I go to school and college, victory on my feet, not just Nike, but victory on my feet. And when I find myself walking through the valley of the shadow of death, when I'm walking, I don't need to fear any evil. Why? Because you are with me. I got to put my peace shoes on. I got to acknowledge that I already got them on. And I got to walk differently and not be bound by fear, because peace is more than a feeling for us. It's our foundation. I want to pray for people who are walking through and walking in some things that are disturbing their peace, their tranquility, their calmness before God. Would everyone stand to your feet, please? This is a house of prayer. And as Mike plays underneath, I just want to... Somebody's in a storm. Somebody's going through. Your peace has been robbed, disturbed, stolen. Believers, with your peace shoes on, walk on up here. Come on up here with me. Come on up here and join me at the altar. You got your peace shoes on. Come on, come on, come on. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Come on, come on, y'all. You don't have to sedate. You meditate. You think differently because you are different. God, you've got this. The good news of the gospel is greater than the bad news of divorce court. Whatever's going on in my life, the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath my feet. And until you deal with this particular situation, I know that you've got me. The grace of God's got me. The love of God has got me. I know you got me, God. Help me to think differently, Lord. I'm standing. Haven't done everything, I'm going to keep standing. And when it's time, I'll even advance against the gates of hell. Soldiers just don't stand. We advance. There's a readiness about us. We go forward and we share the gospel. And it's not just telling people how Jesus can save them. It's about, let me tell you how Jesus saved me. Let me tell you how he got me through this situation that I didn't know how I was going to make it. But he made a way out of no way. Let me advance with the gospel and encourage somebody else that if God can do it for me, he can do it for you. You're not going through this by accident, but by providence. He's using it to grow you, to strengthen you, that your light may shine brighter. Don't give up. Jesus, when the disciples were hiding in fear after your crucifixion, wondering if they were next, you walked into the room without opening up the door, and you said to them, "Peace be unto you." You knew that they were unstable that they were struggling, that they were worrying, that they were afraid. And you said, peace. The same kind of peace you spoke to the storm when they were on the Sea of Galilee, when they thought they were gonna die, and you woke up and said, peace, be still. Father God, I thank you that you're the kind of God who speaks peace to our storms. You tell them to stop. You speak peace to demons and tell them, stop. Leave my child alone. But above all, you speak peace to the hearts of your children, and you calm the storms in our soul. You speak peace that no matter what happens, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, I am all right. Because the Prince of Peace has me. And you strengthen our foundation and our ability to stand when unexpected things come. When wind gusts come to seek to blow our families apart, we are still expected to stand and not to run. And we stand with the gospel shoes of peace on, Lord. I don't know why your children are here. I know some situations in the church. I know we've got some financial issues and medical issues and relational issues. I don't know, but you know. Stabilize them. Strengthen them. Affirm them. Embolden them. Nothing around them may change, but may something in them change. Standing on the rock, his name is Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. Bless your children. Bless this preacher. Don't let me be tossed around by every wind of this and that. Let me expect it. It's supposed to come at me. It's supposed to come at us. But how we respond is different because of who we are in Jesus Christ. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives your sins and heals all of your diseases, either here or there, he heals. We thank you. Father, thank you for an opportunity just to be in your presence. We trust you. Thank you that you are the God who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before your throne with exceeding joy. Lord, baptize your people with joy, because your joy is their strength. Rebuke the spirit of fear and timidity and stress and strife. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Come on, I need some victors in the house who already got it. Hey, before we leave, let's sing that one piece from Trust Me again, all right? It's 11:47. We got 5 minutes before you hug somebody. Let's get some more of that Trust Me in my spirit. Come on, y'all. And then after this, y'all can leave. Trust.